Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap, inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. There's a lot you can learn from the rockstar entrepreneur, Sarah Blakely, who's the founder of Spanx. Here she's going to share some quick tips for us on how to achieve success.
Spanx is in all the top retail stores. I meet people all the time that say, how in the world did you get into Neiman's and Saks? And I say, I called them. And they just look at me. They say, well, didn't you go to trade shows? I've been going to trade shows for 7 years, hoping that a Neiman's buyer walks by. I didn't know enough to do that, and it ended up being a blessing. So I always encourage people to think outside of the box. The way it's always been done isn't necessarily the way it should be done, and oftentimes what's inside of you is a better way of going about it. And so some of the things I contribute my success to, believe it or not, number one is failure. I had always wanted to be a lawyer, and I failed the LSAT, basically. So Spanx would not exist if I had not failed the LSAT. And at that moment in my life, it was the most devastating thing, but I have realized that failure is nothing more than life's way of nudging you and letting you know that you're not on the right path.
Failure, it's the one thing we all share in common as entrepreneurs. And now, with some tips on how to turn your failures into success, joining me is Jessica Naziri. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what are some tips that you have, going back and remembering some of the failures that you've had? How do you turn a failure into a success?
Sure. So a lot of people look at failure as just the end-all, be-all. But in reality, I think it's just a stepping stone for success. No one is an overnight success, and if they say they are, they're lying. Don't believe them. Don't talk to them.
Or they won the lottery.
Yes. And actually, a lot of people have depression after winning the lottery, so that's a failure.
About 85% lose their money after that and go into debt.
Hashtag failure. So let's talk about failure. I think that you take that time once you fail and sulk maybe for 5 days a week. Then after that, you have to take yourself out of it and say, what am I going to do? Am I going to continue crying and being sad and think I'm a failure? Or am I going to turn that into something else, a lesson that I learned and a reason why I will never make that same mistake twice, right? A failure is making the same mistake twice and not changing things around. And so after you stop crying, you figure out what the problem was, then you learn how to redo and take a different step and a different approach.
I think a lot of things about failure, too, is it's more about a mental focus. Like, if you focus on, because, I mean, you can even have a success and focus on the failures that happened even though you succeeded. So I think failure, or at least turning a failure into a success, has a lot to do with shifting your focus. And you can do that through asking positive questions. What are some positive questions that you maybe ask yourself when you have a failure? For example, you know, what did I do to fail? How come I'm so bad? Who hates? All
sure.
Those limiting beliefs or questions you could ask. What are some positive questions that you ask to change your focus?
You take the exact opposite approach, and instead of saying, what did I do wrong to fail, I say, what did I do right? Mm. So I also think that it's a lot of psychology, and you have to trick your brain to think in a different way, right? If someone keeps doing something wrong, then there's a problem. But if you go to yourself, I did something right, let me continue to do more things and take that approach where I did those things in a certain way and do some A-B testing and figure out what I did right, what I did wrong, and continue going towards that path.
I think most people try to avoid failures, but in reality, I think if you can just try to run towards something, best as prepared as possible, but fail fast and fail forward and get back up and learn, I think that's one of the best things you can do as an entrepreneur. What do you think? Do you think it's important?
I think it's super important, but you know, don't forget the accomplishments as well, right? Like I said, look at what you did wrong, but then after you did, then go on to the next thing. And the biggest thing you take away from it is just the mind game, right? You're so worried about what people are going to think. You're so worried about what people are going to say. I think in this industry, when it comes to entrepreneurship, we focus so much on all the success and we forget about the failures. If we don't make those failures, we would never know what a success looks like.
Definitely. So when did you have a failure in your life that changed everything for you? Because I can mention a few of myself, but this is about you right now.
Sure.
When did you have a failure that was like, this changed everything in my life?
Sure. So my failure was not even part because of me. It was because I was laid off from a job, right? And so I was really upset. I thought there was something wrong with me. And mind you, I got laid off from other jobs as well. So for a bit of time, I said to myself, okay, I got laid off in high school from a job. I got laid off in college from a job. I got laid off from a really big company as well. Am I going to sit here and cry and think I'm never going to get a job again? Or am I going to do something that I really believe in and say there are going to be failures along the way, but I want to go towards the success. I want to go towards, you know, building something greater and bigger and actually make a change. And that is what will help someone overcome those fears of failure.
So do you learn more from success or more from failure?
I learn more from failure because then I won't make that same mistake again.
Have you ever heard of the stat, 80% of success is psychology, 20% is the strategies and tactics, and do you believe in that?
Yes, I have to clap for that. It's absolutely true. Why are they not teaching this in schools? I don't know. I think we're so programmed to think that everything has to go right in a certain way. But, this is not what we're humans at the end of the day, right? And so, yeah, I agree with you. You need to have failures to have those successes at the same time.
How important is it to condition yourself to be positive? I think we're so surrounded with environments of negativity like the news and social media and everything. People are gravitated towards like looking at train crashes, right? So how can somebody control their focus to stay in a positive environment?
I used to work at CNN and I used to report on all the bad things. So every time something bad happened, I would be the first person on the line, right? And so I would be at the tip of my seat waiting for something bad to happen. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of the business that I was in. I had to train myself to not look at just the bad, then I had to look at the good as well. And so to answer your question, I think that, you know, it is really important to kind of take yourself away. Every day there's something happening. We have to really appreciate what we have at the end of the day, but then also just continue going forward. You can't let that affect you, whether you're a doctor and you see someone, God forbid, die, or if you're, let's say, a lawyer or you're an accountant, someone loses all their money because of a divorce, I don't know. You're going to have that, but you have to step away from it and then go back into your everyday life.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me today is Jessica Naziri. So we're talking about failures and how to turn them into successes.
Yes.
What are some rituals and habits that you have that allow you to condition yourself to have more successes?
Sure. So I like to ask people about their failures so then mine don't look as bad.
And you can learn from theirs, right?
Yes, exactly. So the biggest thing is you can learn from other people's mistakes and failures. And again, I mentioned this before, but if you keep making the same mistake and not doing something different, there's a problem. For me, success is doing the same thing twice, but differently, if that makes sense,
yeah.
Right? And so to answer your question, you need to have a little bit of both to see what worked and what didn't work.
What has been one of the best lessons that you've ever learned on your journey? I know that you haven't had mentors, which I still think is crazy, but what has been one of the best lessons that you've learned on your journey so far? Maybe from a failure, maybe not.
Sure. So I remember living in New York, getting $10 an hour at my first job, and I was so hungry. I was so hungry for like a great meal living in New York City, and I was so hungry to be where I wanted to be. I had this dream of being a foreign correspondent working at CNN. And I think that I learned that it doesn't matter if the money doesn't come to you initially. It weeds out the people who shouldn't be there from the beginning. And so from that, I take away, if you really want to do something, it's going to be really difficult. And if it's not, then it's not going to be what you expect it to be. So allow yourself to have those hard times. You're going to be at the very bottom, but you need to trick yourself. You need to have this mind game, mind over matter, where you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this. This is something that I really want, and I'm going to continue going towards it.
It reminds me of Eric Thomas and Les Brown. You got to be hungry.
Hungry.
So you got to be hungry for success.
You have to be hungry.
Let's talk to the aspiring
young entrepreneur. Young and hungry. Younger.
Young and hungry.
Yeah.
But not everybody's going to be young, so you can't change that. You can control being hungry, though.
Right.
So let's talk to the aspiring entrepreneurs right
now. Sure.
They're sitting on the fence, and they've got a 9-to-5 job that pays them consistent income, allows them to pay their bills, and live their life. And maybe they're hungry, but they haven't had the confidence or the certainty to take the jump to starting their business and cutting their cord. What's your advice?
My advice is, okay, now that you have that job, take that time to actually go to the dentist, go to the doctor, because then once you become an entrepreneur, you're not going to have time for any of that, right? So use that money, save up, and then that way you'll feel comfortable starting your own thing, and at least you tried. If you don't try, you'll never know. So invest. Start, you know, putting together your IRAs and be smart about it. Do your research before actually cutting the cord and deciding to do something. But for sure, do it.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
NASDAQ Private Market has a set of tools and solutions that really help private companies manage their equity from startup all the way through to an IPO.
Well, there's a lot of companies who say, I want to be private longer. I want to fully develop my business model.
So for success for me at MPM is that an entrepreneur will say, I finally have a choice and I can determine the timing instead of having external forces determine it for me.
We try to bring the benefits of the public markets to private companies. So companies go public for three main reasons: access to capital, access to liquidity, and increasing their brand and visibility amongst both investors as well as customers.
Tango's structured liquidity program is probably one of the most important initiatives that we currently have. The feedback from the employees was phenomenal. On the process side, they really helped us. And we want to do it again and again and again with NASDAQ, who is that much of a success.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me today is Eddie Miller, the co-founder of GreenRich.com. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So what is GreenRich.com, by the way? Let's start with that.
Great. Well, GreenRich.com is the easiest way to order cannabis. We're a cannabis delivery platform. We're a cannabis delivery platform. Okay. We essentially connect the customer or the patient with a dispensary that's going to deliver to them anywhere in California.
Very simple. So GreenRich.com, how long has that been up?
So we've been operating for 15 months now, and we are in 115 California cities.
Okay, so are you guys profitable?
No, we're not profitable.
Not yet?
Not yet. We've got a long way to go. We want to grow. So we'll be profitable when we're in 9,000 cities.
Well, I know we've had a chance to catch up just a little bit before we jumped on here, and I know that you've had some wins and you've had some losses, but you shared one with me that I thought was like, wow, you got beat down hard on this. Tell us about when you lost $500,000 of your best friend's money.
So one of the first businesses when I was a kid, I was 21 years old, and I decided I wanted to start NewYearsEve.com. which is sort of similar to GreenRush, and NewYearsEve.com was a great directory of all the New Year's Eve parties in North America. And the first year, I wanted to go big. I mean, balls to the wall. I wanted to go big and build this, like, this directory of New Year's Eve parties. I started it, and I needed money to buy the domain, to build the website, and to kind of do all the things. And I went to my best friends and said, hey, guys, you believe in me. You've seen me do some stuff younger. Now, you know, come with me for the next journey. And so they believed in me. They invested 500 grand into the company, and I lost every dollar and then some. And on January 7th, I mean, it was the end of the world.
How does somebody pick themselves up from getting beat down that hard or getting uppercut from something like that? You know, because it's like a lot of entrepreneurs, they're terrified of failure. I think all of us are conditioned to avoid fear and try to gain pleasure. So getting beat down with such a big loss like that, picking yourself back up, and then getting some wins under your belt, how do you do that?
Well, for starters, whatever doesn't kill you really truly makes you stronger. That is the truth.
Yeah.
And it didn't kill me. I was still there. It was January 8th now, and now I realized that everything was gone, and it was just me and my co-founder, and we were kind of sitting in the office by ourselves, and we were like, well, what are we going to do? So we decided it was just going to be the two of us. My co-founder, he was going to learn how to code, and he did, and he built the entire website from scratch, rebuilt it by himself. And I was going to do all the sales, all the customer service, pick up the phones every day, work 19 hours, 20 hours a day until the next New Year's. And I was willing not to make a dollar because I believed in it so much.
So I think at least one of the lessons that I picked from that is no matter how bad you get beat down or how bad you lost or how hard you think it's going to be get back up, you always have your willpower.
Yes.
And as long as you believe that you can pick yourself back up and that you can get up and you can succeed if you put in the number one resource you always have, which is time.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money, you definitely have the time to put in. And it sounded like you guys lost all the money, you lost all the wind out of your sails, but you picked yourself back up and you committed to learning what you needed to learn to be able to succeed. And so, you know, I congratulate you on being able to pick yourself back up from a loss like that and not saying this entrepreneurial thing is just not for me and reverting back into a job. So I honor you for that. What has been one of the successes that you have had that you learned from that thing that allowed you to move you forward? Meaning you failed, got back up, and you've been able to succeed since then. What has been some of those successes and what was some of the lessons?
Well, specifically NewYearsEve.com, the big lesson was a year later was that we actually did have a good business and we had a great idea and people didn't want to pay cash for New Year's Eve tickets. They wanted to buy them on their mobile devices and on the internet. Now, we had to learn that the hard way, and the great thing was that when we bootstrapped the company, when we had no investment capital, when literally it was me picking up the phone, that's when we did the best. That's when we made the most money. That's when everything kind of aligned itself because we decided we were going to persevere. We were going to make it no matter what.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me is Eddie Miller, the co-founder of GreenRush.com. My question is, why cannabis?
Okay.
Out of all the industries you could go into, why did you choose cannabis?
I like to make people happy. I like to make customers happy. I
know you got a product that makes them happy.
I know that's a silly thing to say, but my businesses were NewYearsEve.com, PubCrawls.com. I had a car museum in Las Vegas at some point. And so the businesses that I built made people happy. They made them smile. And I thought, hey, cannabis is something that makes people happy, that cures them of whatever ails them, whatever they're upset about. And 3 years ago, somebody proposed to me that I get into the cannabis industry. I was super reluctant to do it. But after a lot of research, after talking to a bunch of lawyers, I decided that there probably wasn't a better opportunity that was going to come in my lifetime like this one.
So what are you doing to capitalize on the opportunity in addition to just having the website?
Well, we're investing in companies. We're looking for the best ideas in cannabis. And our goal is to create technology to run the industry. Every other industry in the world has technology, except for cannabis, because it's new, it's young, it's immature.
So what type of technology are you going to implement into that?
So for starters, we have our delivery platform, which is for consumers to talk to retailers. But there's stuff that's bigger than that. The retailers, the people that sell the cannabis, they don't really have great websites. They don't have customer relationship management software. They don't have marketing tools. They don't even print business cards in some cases or have really great stands in their stores. So what we bring as marketers, we bring all of that knowledge to them. We don't ask for any money up front, and we make money as long as our retailers make money. If our partners are successful, that's how we get paid.
So if your partners are successful, that's how you get paid, which is obviously a great relationship to have, especially for them, because they have to know that you're going to make them successful.
Exactly.
So what are some of the ways that you actually get in their business, build the trust with them, so that they believe that you're going to have their best interest to implement some new strategies? Because, you know, the six words that kill businesses are, we've always done it this way.
Yes.
So how do you get them to overcome that?
I've heard that so many times. And for me, I like to tell a business owner, try this for free. I'm going to do all of this work to prove myself to you and my company. We're going to give you 60 days and you don't have to pay us anything. And if you make money, you keep all of it.
So I call that risk reversal, mitigating the risk on the customer, the consumer, or whoever it is that you're making a value proposition to. Mitigate the risk so you can stand by and say, look, we're so confident and certain this is going to work that we're actually willing to give it to you for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days for free. We're willing to give you a full refund. Some people, you know, we're most commonly conditioned for risk reversal as a 30-day money-back guarantee or a warranty. So in your case, you're implementing risk reversal, which I love to hear. What are some other things? What if somebody says, I don't want to try this for 60 days. I don't even care that it's for free. What do you do then? Do you just move on, or do you have some type of, you know, elegant way that you still can lure them in?
We get them to work with us because we offer all these different tiers, right? One tier is we'll build your website. We'll manage your social media presence. We will be your marketing engine. That's one way. But the other way is, hey, put your menu up. Put up 5 of your items. Put up 50 of your items. Whatever you are okay with delivering or selling, put them up on our platform. get some orders, and then tell me that you don't want any more orders after that.
Great ways to mitigate risk and create some partnerships. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Planning a trip soon? Do something special. Now with Dream Cars Las Vegas, live like a rock star and cruise the strip in style. Dream Cars Las Vegas is number one for exotic and luxury car rentals. Drive an awesome quality exotic like a Rolls-Royce Ghost Bentley convertible, the James Bond Aston Martin Virage, Ferrari California, a McLaren, and more. Exotic luxury has never been so affordable. No one can touch our low rental prices and the best customer service in town. We offer complimentary shuttle, delivery and pickup, and no security deposit charges. Live your dream with Dream Cars Las Vegas. And mention Business Rockstars Radio for a special discount. Call today, 877-759-3732. That's 877-759-3732. Or visit DreamCarsLasVegas.com. 877-759-3732.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap, inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me today is Eddie Miller, the co-founder of GreenRush.com, and we're going to do the 60-second CEO, where I'm going to fire off rapidly some questions at you, and you're going to just say the first word that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Deal.
All right, here we go. Who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Mark Benioff.
I don't know who that is. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book? The Godfather.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Superman.
What do you do to unplug?
I go to the beach.
What's the first thing you do when you check your phone in the morning? What's the first app you use?
I check Slack.
Slack. What's one of your biggest pet peeves?
Positivity. I want only positivity around me. No negative energy.
Okay. What keeps you up at night?
Legal issues. Lawyers.
If you had one extra hour in the day, how would you use it?
I would organize everything that's happening.
Last thing you do before bed?
I kiss my girlfriend.
Favorite movie?
The Godfather.
And this is our last question. Describe yourself in one word.
Determined.
Determined. Okay, so let's go with determined. How are you determined in your business? You've had some wins, you've had some, you know, losses and failures and successes. How determined are you? I know you're striving for, you said 9,000, what is it, 9,000 cities?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to be pretty determined to do that.
Well, I'm determined because every time we set a goal, we accomplish it no matter what. And that's the corporate culture, that's the kind of the ethos that we live with in our teams. So whatever that goal may be, sometimes it's something small, like let's organize the company and get everybody on the same page. Sometimes it's we're going to accomplish this goal. We're going to go and make 30,000 people like our app tomorrow. And that's what makes us determined.
Okay, so let's talk about being determined in marketing strategies. How are you going to go out and actually get into 9,000 cities? That's obviously going to take a lot of marketing, a lot of phone calls, a lot of hard work and determination. So how are you going to do that?
Boots on the ground. I'm a big believer in start from the bottom up. So we will land in every one of those cities. And we'll set up a sales team, locals that know the area, that know the environment, that know the local entrepreneurs, that have gone to parties and went to high school with the people that we're trying to sell to.
How important is values and company culture for what you guys are doing?
Super important. It's important in any company. Values, the company values are what you live by and the integrity that the company has. Company culture is how strong is the team, and if the team's weak, company won't succeed.
I know that passion is one of the big things that you love to talk about. So how important is having passion, not only for yourself, but making sure that everybody on your team is passionate as well?
Everyone needs to feel the passion. So for me, when I'm describing an idea or I'm telling everybody at the conference table, hey, this is what we're going to do, they need to feel not only that I believe it, but they need to believe it as I'm describing it. And so passion, it comes in through everything. It comes in through the way you tell the story.
Earlier you said that negativity was something that you just try to have none of it in your
yes.
life, and positivity is the one thing that you want to attract so much of. So how do you go about making sure that you cut negativity out of your life? Because I think so many people struggle with having negative friends. They're watching, you know, the news and getting just programmed with all of this negativity from the world and society and people around them. How do you disconnect from that and make sure you're surrounded in a positive environment?
Well, I think the best advice that I can tell anyone is you need to move forward. So negativity always stems from looking backwards and saying, oh no, look, we failed and we did this wrong and we did that wrong and how are we ever not going to repeat this? For me, it's, okay, yep, we did it. We messed up. We did it wrong. Now what are we going to do next? We're going to move forward. We're going to do this, this, and this, and now we're never going to look back again. And so the biggest rule that I have for my employees is when we face a problem, we fix it forever.
So I'm an aspiring entrepreneur. I'm sitting on the fence, and I have, you know, a standard 9-to-5 job that pays my bills, and I'm barely able to save up any money at the end of the month. And I've got this idea that I think is going to be so good. It'll solve so many problems. I barely have the resources, the time, the energy, the connections to be able to quit my job and start. What's your advice for me?
Simplify it. Boil it down to the simplest possible form, the lowest common denominator.
What does that mean, though?
Okay, Green Rush. We have a lot of lofty ideas for what we want to do and what type of technology we want to build for the cannabis industry. But we started with the simplest idea. And the simplest idea is that patients want cannabis delivered to them when they want it on demand. And that's what we solved for first.
How important do you think it is to constantly be getting feedback from your customers?
Very important.
What do you guys do to be able to do that?
We talk to them. We talk to them on the phone. We have reviews. We make sure that they give us feedback. We meet them and talk to them in person.
I think one of the biggest things that differentiates a company and how long they're actually going to be around is their ability to innovate. So how do you guys make sure that you're constantly up to date and innovating with technology or any of the new things that are changing in the world?
So we have what we know as ideation sessions. Okay, and that's literally after work hours, so say 8 to 11 p.m., we order some food, and this is for the co-founders and the executives, we order some food, and everybody talks about, everybody gets comfortable, they talk about their lives, they talk about their wives and what's happening at home, and then someone, usually me, sparks the conversation. Hey, what if we did this? And I pick the most outlandish thing that I can invent. And then I put it out there into the world. And from that is born, you know, no, that can't work, but what if we did this? And all
like
of a sudden.
Like an incubator session.
Yes, and all of a sudden, we come up with a great new idea. Now, sometimes that idea doesn't get used right away, but we write it down, we talk about it, sometimes we record what we talked about. Yeah, you know, like literally live, we record a video of what we talked about. And these ideas, they come up a year and a half later as customers start to bring stuff up and say, hey, can you do this? And we're like, yeah, we can. We've already thought this through.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me is Eddie Miller, the co-founder of GreenRush.com. Do you have people in your personal life, be it family members, a significant other, good friends, that are not involved in your business directly, but that are there supporting you and know about all the things that you're going through?
Of course, my family. My grandfather, he's a Ukrainian immigrant, he's 82 years old, and he was a nuclear engineer in Russia, and he now lives in America, and I tell him about my businesses, and as crazy as it sounds that I'm in the cannabis industry, which for him is super taboo, he gives me the best advice that he can on how I can persevere.
I think a lot of people get caught up as entrepreneurs in focusing on what's next to achieve. How can we continue to raise the bar? And I see a lot of people get caught up and overwhelmed with having to do that. They feel like, I gotta keep raising the bar. I have to keep making more money. We have to sell our company. Look at these other people that are building a billion-dollar valuation company in their parents' basement or something, right? So how do you stay focused on being grounded and focusing more on the journey rather than the destination?
The truth is, in all the businesses that I've ever been a part of, I only cared about us, about what we were doing. I don't look at the competitors. I don't look at the rest of the market. I look at what are we doing and how do we make it better. And so it's not just what's next. It's how do we continue to make the business better. And the truth is, if you put that out into the world, guess what? The best ideas, the best energy, it comes back to you and it makes your business stronger.
I love what you said, and I'm going to play devil's advocate with you.
Do it.
Not looking at the competitors. Do you see that as a pro or a con? Because I think some entrepreneurs tuning in who might be really successful say, some of the reasons why we are successful is because A, we either copied our competitors, or B, we learned what to not do or how to protect ourselves or how to innovate. So what would you say to that?
You can look at the competitors just to see what they're doing, but that can't be the only influencer in your decisions. Because just because you thought from the outside that your competitor did something and it didn't work for them, you don't know what their execution was. You don't know what they did wrong. You don't know if the guy that they put on that one project, if he just was incompetent. So you can't look at the competition and say, they did this and it didn't work for them, so we can't do it. You need to look inward, and can your team achieve what you believe is possible?
So talking about, you know, copying or modeling competitors and figuring out, you know, is this a model that we can copy or learn from? Do you, when you started your business, did you learn from somebody who had already kind of paved the way for you?
Of course.
Or did you okay, so you did. So, because I was going to say, or did you kind of have to learn it all on your own? So you said, yes, you did follow somebody. So what did that look like? Did you have a mentor?
It's twofold. We looked at the market the rest of the world was using. How were people ordering things, whether it's liquor or electronics, whatever, anything, food. How did people order those things and how did they come to them? So we looked at the rest of the world and all those models and figured out how to customize that type of business strategy, the on-demand business strategy, to the cannabis sector.
Are you worried at all potentially that with changes in the government and states and city regulations that maybe you're going to potentially lose a large portion of your partners or distribution in the future? Are you worried about that at all?
I'm not worried about it at all.
Why is that?
The 26th state just legalized cannabis.
26 states?
26 states in America now have legal cannabis. Not only that, but rules are actually good. And I know this is crazy to believe. Rules are good for any industry. The government has to continue to create rules and regulations in order for the citizens to be okay with liberalizing the laws and making them easier, looser, the laws of cannabis.
My question is, what are some things that maybe people who don't know very much about cannabis should know from your perspective, being somebody who's in the industry?
Well, they need to know that it's actually very easily accessible. On greenrush.com, in order to get cannabis, even if you don't have a medical marijuana card, all you need to do is access our website and you can actually meet a doctor, talk to the doctor on your mobile device, and have a medical marijuana recommendation within 20 minutes.
What's your advice to young entrepreneurs who maybe have a company, maybe don't?
Persistence. When you decide on your idea, when you're for sure, when you know that this is what's going to work, you have to stop at nothing to get there.
Now imagine for just a minute that you and I are in a giant stadium full of young people, old people, entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and you've got maybe 20 or 30 seconds to deliver your last most valuable advice and speech to them. What is it?
My most valuable advice is stay consistent. When you decide that you want to do a particular project, you believe in a particular idea, you have to stay consistent and persistent. So when investors don't want to give you money, you have to keep trying. When the customers aren't ready to buy, you have to tweak your pitch and change it around and make it smarter, better for the customer until you finally get it. Because that's the truth. You might have to try 100 times to get it, but once you do, that victory is so sweet.
Persistence has definitely been a consistent theme throughout this. I think persistence is hands down one of the most important ingredients for success. Really appreciate you for coming out on our show. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
It's better to burn out than to fade away. This is Oren Claff with Pitch Anything, showing you how to close like the pros. When you spend 20 minutes or so selling your product or service to a potential buyer, your conclusion is your final opportunity to convince and inspire them to think about you positively, to trust you, and to take action by taking another meeting or agreeing to buy from you. To do this, you obviously must create a sense of urgency. An average salesperson will say, "Hey, I can only hold this price for 24 hours, but that's just a form of discounting, which reduces profit margin. The best salespeople create urgency by suggesting that they're getting busy, and while the product might be available, the salesperson won't. The implication is the buyer will end up working with an average salesperson, not a great one. Now that's a great close. It's better to burn out than to fade away. This is Everything Entrepreneur. I'm Oren Claff with Pitch Anything.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap, inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me is John Rulin, the CEO of the Rulin Group and author of Giftology. It's great to have you here on the show.
For having me, Mark. It's really exciting to be here.
Tell me a little bit about what you do and what you're up to these days.
Yeah, well, we started a gift strategy and logistics company 16 years ago. I interned with Cutco, the knife company that works with 1.5 million college kids, and was fortunate to have some mentors that were really generous, and they taught me the principles of radical generosity, of how to kind of attract referrals and invest in relationships in kind of unique ways. And so over the last 16 years, we've applied a lot of those principles. I went from being a farm boy in Ohio, one of six kids, to now we have 25 pro sports teams as clients like the Chicago Cubs. And a lot of our strategies we poured into our book that just went live.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue into a question, and that is, what are some of those practical, you know, tips that somebody can apply right now if they're an aspiring entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, they want to stand out and they want to get the attention of maybe a Dream 100 client?
Yeah, well, I think any company that has a limited budget, which I think any entrepreneur is looking for a strong ROI, there's so much noise, whether it's digital noise or just life gets in the way for most people. And so to stand out is very difficult. So a couple of our off-the-cuff strategies I think that anybody can incorporate. Number one is the gift that you're sending has to be personalized. There's a billion-dollar industry that says promotional products work. But the simple fact is if you put your logo on it, it's a gift about you. And if you want the other person to take notice, you need to make the gift all about them. So it has to have their name on it. It has to be all about their interests. And it better represent you well to them. It can't be a trinket or some promotional item from China. And you're saying you're the best in class, and then you're sending them something that's mediocre in class that doesn't communicate well. I think the other thing is a lot of executives, you're trying to get their attention. They're staying at the nicest hotels, going golfing, going to ball games. They get a lot of stuff thrown at them. So a lot of our gift strategy targets the assistant, who oftentimes controls the schedule, their spouse, oftentimes a wife, and their kids. It's the inner circle that is usually ignored in business. They don't get, you know, to go to Pebble Beach. They don't get to go to the nice dinners. They don't get to fly around on the private jet. So if you want to get the attention of the executive, take care of that inner circle. And it's amazing how if you win them, you win the executive as well. It's kind of like you get a two for one.
Those are some great, simple, but powerful tips. I'm super curious, and I've got to ask, what's been one of the craziest gifts you've ever given or have been a part of gifting?
I can think of two. One in particular, I wanted to get the attention of one of the top business CEO coaches in the world. His name's Cameron Harold. And he coaches like the Sheikh of Qatar in their 300 companies. Like, he's the coach for them. He's a coach for a $20 billion company, Sprint. And so when I met him 9 years ago, I found out that he loves Brooks Brothers and he was coming into town and wasn't going to have time to shop. So I went and bought, I found out his shirt size and his jacket size, and I bought $7,000 worth of clothes, and I turned his Ritz-Carlton room into a Brooks Brothers store. So all he had to do was pick out what he wanted. And he didn't have to go shopping. He was from Canada. They didn't have Brooks Brothers in Canada. So when he went up to his room and came back down to go with us for dinner, the entire conversation changed. He went from, you know, kind of like being like, why am I going on this dinner, to, John, I'll talk to you whatever you want to talk about for as long as you want to talk about it. He's opened doors with like the president of Starbucks and become a friend and advocate and literally shares our stories and is one of the big endorsers of the book, Giftology. All over the world because of that one experience that that we created for him.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me is John Rulin, the CEO of the Rulin Group and author of Giftology. John was just sharing some of his awesome ways that he stands out amongst the crowd with top-level CEOs and executives. That was a super creative one. I've never heard of something like that. Let's go down to a level where somebody says, hey, maybe I don't have a $7,000 budget to wow somebody and stand out. Go down to something around maybe, you know, $100.
Yeah, well, the interesting part of that story about $7,000 is a lot of times people say, even big companies are like, well, I'll get thrown in jail if a financial advisor gives me $7,000. Like, Cameron actually came back to us and said, the experience was in the personalization of what you did was the gift. I can't let you buy the product as well. So I'm either going to round up what I think the clothes cost by 30%, or you're going to tell me what I picked out, what that costs, and I'm going to write you a check for that amount. And so that experience cost me nothing. And so oftentimes it's not about the money that you spend, but it's about the risk and your willingness to put yourself out there. So some of our most, you know, like one of our top gifts to this day are the handmade cutlery, Cutco, which sounds weird, like knives as gifts for business doesn't really make sense. But I'll take a $100 chef knife after a meeting. I do this about 500 times a year. And I'm meeting with somebody and they're giving me 30 minutes of their time or 60 minutes. And I hate the phrase, can I pick your brain? Which basically means, can I waste your time and not give you anything for it? And after every time I sit down with somebody that's important, and their time could be worth $100 an hour or $10,000 an hour, I send them a handwritten note with a $100 knife, a chef knife, with their name engraved on it, nothing about me. And I say, it's really valuable. I can't wait to put it into practice. And I look forward to staying in touch. I don't ask them for referrals. I don't ask them for another meeting. And you'd be blown away. That $100 knife sounds like, well, is that really going to make a difference? But I've had people that are millionaires and even billionaires come up and say, John, my wife loves that gift. We think about you even when we don't want to think about you on a day-to-day basis, when we're entertaining, when we're cutting up things for our smoothie in the morning. Like, that tool, because it's all about us, has actually become an artifact. It's become a part of our daily lives. And I think about you all the time, even if I don't want to. And so it's not always about the money, but it is like, it's a handmade knife. It's a useful thing. It's personalized to them. It includes the inner circle. It's not always about the money, but it is. Everybody says it's the thought that counts, and that's bullcrap. That's BS. It's the thoughtful thought that counts. And most people, they want to check a box once a year at Christmas, or they want to do the obligatory Starbucks gift card as a thank you for a referral gift. And none of that works because it's not thoughtful. It's like you clicking a box on Amazon. Like, people know, like, when you get an Amazon box, like, somebody pointed twice on a, you know, touched their screen twice to send it out. That doesn't make anybody feel like a VIP. And so oftentimes a little bit extra effort, a little bit extra thought, and really, like, a lot of the questions we put in Giftology, so you can follow the playbook. You don't have to hire our firm to do all the gifts. If you want to, you can, which a lot of companies are lazy and they don't want to do the gifting process. But entrepreneurs that want to do it on their own, the book is there, the playbook's there. You can sometimes, $100 gift can do more than $1 million in advertising if you do it right.
Thanks so much for those great tips, John. I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
BizTalkRadio.com.